It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for Ask Andy and Bob, which is brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com, best barbecue around. Andrew P., you were on vacation last week. Did you take some 409 tailgate stuff?
I took the condominium on the island we go to has a great grill system as part of it. You can use the grills outside. So I took chicken rub because we generally...
That's your thing. That's the rub. You might be the number one supporter of the chicken rub as part of the 409 tailgate experience.
I cooked twice and made two different kinds of chicken.
I think he rolls around in it at night before he goes to bed and doesn't tell anyone.
That's
a little too personal. I don't need to know anything more about
it. I can't confirm
it,
but I just the way that he talks about it, it would not surprise
me. The fact that he walks into our studio smelling of lemon pepper, was that the first hint?
I've had my doubts about Andy for some time now with regard to the chicken, specifically that rub.
Well, you can go to 409tailgateclub.com, find out for yourself some great rubs, some great sauces. There was no drinking going on, was there, while you were on vacation, Andy?
Absolutely not.
All right, just checking.
His last name is Shea. He's Irish, so yeah, there was no drinking going on.
My brother was there, same last name, none.
All right, let's move along. It's time for Ask Bob and Ask Andy. We typically do this with Ross since he's not here. You gentlemen are sitting in. Make Ross proud. And at the end, you will decide on a winner. Mm-hmm. Best question gets a 409 tailgate box.
Minus the rub. That's all. Yeah. It's already spoken.
If there's a little gap in the box where there could have been chicken rub, you know what happened to it. All right. Let's start with Brad from Arlington. Why? Because we're big in Arlington.
So this is not Texas, it's Virginia.
I'm assuming Virginia.
Okay.
So usually when it's Arlington, Texas.
I think we've heard from Brad before.
I think so, but it's Jerry from Arlington, okay. Texas.
All right.
Who was a recent winner. Anyway, Brad says, super genius Ross, or Bob and Andy.
Not here.
What do you think about Micah Parsons potentially being back for kickoffs with KJ Hamler?
Mentioned
a couple weeks ago.
Look, I would say that, are you talking about as a return man? All I will say is this. Bill O'Brien, first game at Penn State, 2012, has Ohio at home, and they're a little short-staffed, and he had the idea to make Gerald Hodges the punt returner, and they kicked the ball to Gerald Hodges. He got his hands on it, fumbled it. I think Ohio recovered it. Kicked a field goal, and it never really got right for Penn State. I think you let Micah do what he does best, and that is go get the ball on defense.
I saw Micah play a lot of running back in high school, and now that I think about it, I don't ever remember him fumbling. But for a guy that was 230 pounds in high school, for even when guys had angle, he would outrun them if it was open space. I'm intrigued by that.
See, if I was going to use Micah on offense, I would either use him or I would use him as an H back on the goal line as an extra block.
You don't want him running between the tackles.
I would just let him run through somebody rather than try and run without the ball. And I just think that Micah could play offense. Yeah. I would not. The idea of him returning kicks and somebody colliding with him full speed, they both might get seriously hurt, but he could actually get injured.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
In theory, I like the idea because I'd love to see him in the ball in space. I don't want to see him running between the tackles because he runs upright and thinks he's strong and everybody and he'd get himself killed in college because someone would take his head off and thump him really good. But outside, I could see it. But yeah, okay. That's
as a fan, just out of curiosity, I'd like to see it. But I don't know if this is where you were headed, Bobby, about actually receiving the kick.
Yeah.
But maybe as an escort.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would definitely be. I think he might have been referencing. I don't know that he wanted him as the bodyguard for KJ. I think he wanted him as an option. But
I think
I'm all about Micah hitting people without the ball. But I don't know. I don't want him. I don't want him getting hit. Like 11 different guys can hit him with the ball. If he's the bodyguard, he's really only got to worry about one or two.
And I think he would excel at that job. All right. Next up is Sean from Grantsville, Maryland. So we went from Virginia to Maryland, just like Penn State recruiting, mid-Atlantic. We do well. With recent decommits, do you believe if Penn State beats Ohio State and the passing game has a good year, including Shorter breaking out, that we might see two or three of the decommits return to Penn State?
I think it would certainly give them pause, and it would be great big picture recruiting for Penn State. But that so for one of the things I would say about that is Penn State and Ohio State play the week before Thanksgiving, and signing day is less than 3 weeks away. So I would say there's no chance of that.
I'd say no, there's no chance.
But what it would do.
Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I think it would be game
change
on.
That momentum.
I think it would be game on in 2021 and 2022.
Gotcha. All right. How about this? I think this is our first time hearing from Bryce from Kirkland, Washington.
Wow.
This week we heard James Franklin allude to one of the freshman QBs being in the competition. While nobody expects this to be realistic, are there any indication to which quarterback Franklin was referring? I would assume Michael Johnson, based on Ross's re-rankings and his obviously glowing report about Michael Johnson.
I would say it's probably clearly Michael Johnson. And I do. I would lean on what Ross said about him and how much he really likes him. I was really impressed when I saw him in Florida for Under Armour week before he got to campus. He's a big kid. He can really run. He is a guy that I think that can be. As he continues to develop, I just think that he has the look of a potential game changer to me down the road, and it did concern me a little bit when Ross backed off the other guy. There's only so many of these quarterbacks that are going to see it all the way through, and that's the way of the world in any major program. But I would say odds are very, very good, Andy, that he was talking about Michael Johnson.
Yeah, I agree it's Michael Johnson, but I think James is doing a little. Future ground laying. I think he's competing, and he didn't say what he's competing for. He just said he's competing. I think he's competing for the third spot. Let's just put it that way. I don't think he's competing. Even I don't think he's competing for a number two spot with Will Levis. I really don't. I think he's competing to be the third quarterback on the depth chart. And there is a competition with a classmate, but I don't think he's seriously part of the 1-2 conversation.
I think for this season especially,
yeah, just
you know,
for this
as
year.
True
yeah.
freshman,
yeah.
That's going to be the case. But the coaching staff has to be constantly evaluating that pecking order,
yeah.
And one
yeah.
is going to get ahead of the other, even if yeah. he doesn't say so. And I think in yeah. this day and age, there's only one quarterback position. I don't think we'll see both freshmen here as
the
seniors.
Loser of the number three quarterback job that's on scholarship is going to leave. Let's just
yeah,
call
he's a
it.
Transfer portal candidate.
I don't think there's any chance the loser is going to look to stay. I mean, he might stay for his degree, but he'll eventually leave.
But in the grand plan. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And you
oh,
know
yeah.
what? You'll bring in two quarterbacks again, and you pick the better one,
yes.
and you have two shots at
right.
it. So let's move on. Continuing to talk quarterback, Mike from Charlotte, North Carolina says, throwing the intangibles out of the discussion, can the better passing ability of Sean Clifford outweigh the better running capabilities of McSorley, ultimately improving the offense? Or is McSorley just as good of a passer as Clifford? You want to try that first, Andy?
McSorley is not as good of a pure arm talent passer as Clifford. We don't know if Clifford is... It would be really hard to see Sean Clifford having as much game baller and sort of that intangibles that McSorley has. But I don't know. Just call me... stupid. I think you want your quarterback to be known.
Where's Russ when you need him?
Oh, well, he can run. He's a pretty good with his legs or his arm's okay. I don't want that in my quarterback. I want to know about his arm. I want to know about his accuracy. I want to know about his ability to throw the deep ball. And if he can run a little bit, I'm okay with that. But if I don't want that to be like one or two on the depth chart of what his strengths are, he's got great legs and running ability. I don't want that as high up.
I would just say this. So, I mean, if Sean completes 65 or 66% of his passes, gets close to 3,500 yards, you look at where Trace was, that offsets a lot of the damage that Trace was able to do on the ground. The other thing is, if he completes 66% of his passes and he throws 3,500 yards and some of these receivers emerge, it's going to scare the hell out of the defense, and you're going to see wider running lanes for the running backs to go through.
I also think Sean Clifford is a better athlete and runner than he's given credit for. I believe part of that is just Trace McSorley was so good at it that that's always the comparison.
He's limited, though.
But in
he's not
Trace McSorley.
Correct. But he does have limitations when he steps
out.
He
won't be Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, no. He's not a statue back there, but he is extremely limited. What he has to emerge as, because his foot speed isn't great, his arm has to make up for it, and he has to be a better thrower on the run. In other words, he's not unathletic, but he's got to be able to flip it and zing it on the move. Trace would use his legs.
And that leads to perhaps the bigger variable. It's not for a quarterback, not right. just throwing the ball, not just running it. It's decision making. You escape the pocket and decide to still keep your eyes up and throw the ball as opposed to running it. All right, let's move on. Dan from Wilkes-Barre. If Devin Ford is a true six-position athlete, as Ross suggested,
right.
but he can't crack the running back rotation, why not some slot receiver time? Get the ball in space, jet sweeps, etc.
I just think that they have the ideal slot option in KJ Hamler.
You got him.
And the more – look, there's times where I'm not always on the same page with Ross, but when Ross talks about somebody the way that Ace talked about Devin Ford, I think if Devin Ford is healthy – and Justin Shorter wasn't healthy last year, and it really hurt him.
Correct.
If Devin Ford is healthy – I don't see any way that he's not going to be, at least to start the season, one of the top three running backs.
Yeah. If Devin Ford, no, I don't want him in the slot because, and he is a multiple position guy. But if he is not one of the top three running backs, then Penn State might have, going forward, a little bit of running back evaluation problem because this kid's got it all.
Yeah.
Develop him.
Yeah. I would say we got 30 seconds to go, Ashe. I'm just going to tell you of the. I thought they were some pretty good questions.
They
we
were.
Got to a lot of them. Jimmy, nice job spinning them around. I thought, because I referenced it earlier, that making up for the yardage that Trace on the ground, I thought that was the best question because that's something I'm going to be watching all year. Can Clifford throw for more yards to offset what Penn State's missing from Trace in the running game?
So that would be Brad from Arlington.
No. So it was the second to last question.
Mike from Charlotte, throwing the intangibles.
Correct.
And the better
ability. That's it.
Sorry, Arlington. Mike, be looking for our reach out to get your information. That's it for quarter number three. Stick around. Quarter number four is coming.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.